Welcome to the Thomistic Institute podcast. Our mission is to promote the Catholic intellectual tradition in the university, the church, and the wider public square. The lectures on this podcast are organized by university students at Thomistic Institute chapters around the world. To learn more and to attend these events, visit us at thomisticinstitute.org.
Our session this morning is Sacred Study in the Consecration of the Mind. My topic is Scripture and Prayer and Sacred Study, with a focus on the alternating rhythm of reading and prayer that it's really at the heart of Lectio Divina. In thinking about this topic, I want to make three simple points. First, Christianity has its own proper form of meditation. Lectio Divina is a good example, and it has roots in and flows from Scripture and the teaching of Christ. Second, this Christian tradition of meditation differs in important and fundamental ways from Buddhist and Hindu meditation. It differs from mindfulness training as well, which aims at a kind of intentional, present moment, non-judgmental awareness. Mindfulness training can be helpful in a number of ways, but the prayerful reading of Scripture goes beyond in seeking and finding living contact with the three-person God. For now, St. Augustine said in a sermon, treat the Scripture of God as the face of God. Third, Lectio Divina can be practiced in a great variety of ways. The familiar presentation of a four-step format from reading to meditation to prayer and to contemplation is pedagogically useful, but it's also misleading and limiting. With regard to prayer, St. Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 3 are worth recalling. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Holy Spirit is the great director of our prayer. In a letter written from prison and known as his Letter of Joy, St. Paul exhorted the early church in the vibrant Hellenistic city of Philippi in northeastern Greece to shine forth like lights in the midst of this world and to hold fast to the word of life. Philippians 2, 15 through 16 is worth recalling, both for its rhetorical power and beauty and because of its perennially relevant word of encouragement. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, Paul begins, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. This last phrase can be understood to mean holding fast to the gospel announced by Paul in Philippi. The good news of God that creates life, that gives divine spiritual life in the soul. In his commentary on this passage, St. Thomas Aquinas says, no matter how the world changes, the lights of the world remain bright. You are the light of the world. They are luminous, Aquinas writes, not in essence, because God alone is light in this way, but they are light inasmuch as they have some of that light which was the light of men, i.e. the word of God, radiating on us. Therefore, Paul says, holding fast the word of life, i.e. the word of Christ. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I'll say a brief word first about reading, about holding fast to the word of God, welcome in Lectio. Second, about meditation, inscribing the word of God on the wax tablets of the mind and the heart by memorization, repetition, and study, meditatio. And third, if time allows, about praying in response to the word of God, held fast and pondered, oratio. As the fathers of the church taught, when we read, God talks to us. That's happening in lectio and meditatio, prayerful reading and pondering. God is speaking. When we pray, we talk to God. That's prayer, the lifting of the heart and mind to God, or asking good things from God. On the handout, I've given some resources offering practical counsel on how we might allow the Word of God to radiate on us, as St. Thomas puts it, ways in which we might appropriate some of this ancient and rich tradition in our own approach to the throne of grace. Christians down through the ages have found an alternating rhythm of reading and prayer to be a fruitful way to receive the Word as life-giving food. Food for our souls, a pure source of the spiritual life. And it can lead, as Psalm 1 promises, to happiness, to blessedness, and to bringing forth fruit in due season. Holding fast to the word of life. At night, in the temple at Shiloh, Samuel heard God calling him by name. It took him a few times to get it right, but at last he found words with which to speak. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Samuel welcomed the word and began to act on it, and the history of Israel was changed. Reading the Bible prayerfully is a way of listening to what the Lord wishes to tell us in his word, Pope Francis writes, and of letting ourselves be transformed by the Spirit. Not many of us will be visited with visions of the night or receive auditory locutions when we pray. But to hear God's voice is within reach. The ordinary way to listen to God speaking is the prayerful reading of Scripture. When we hear the Word of God read at Mass or take it on our lips in a responsorial psalm, we're being given living contact with that life-giving Word that has the power to save our souls. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, Jesus said. And again, you have been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. It's on the basis of Christ's own words that Pope John Paul II could say of the Word of God that it's the first source of all Christian spirituality. It gives rise to a personal relationship with the living God and with his saving and sanctifying will. Hear, O Israel, keep the words that I'm commanding you today in your heart. Listening, hearing, welcoming the word is crucially important, for faith comes from what is heard, and faith is the foundation of the spiritual life. Two things are required for faith, Aquinas notes. One is the inclining of the heart to believe, and this does not come from hearing, but from the gift of grace. The other is a decision about what to believe, and this comes from hearing, which is to say that in welcoming the word, we're being given the word of life, the content of our faith. Inclining our hearts to the word of God, saying, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, is a way of welcoming the things we are freely to assent to, the sacred realities proposed for our belief. For the Christian, the purpose of turning inward and entering the heart is to hear the word of God there and to become aware of the grace of the Holy Spirit dwelling within. Mindfulness training, which aims at something very different, may help prepare Christians to go deeper, to go further, to seek the face of God and to hear his voice. Reading can irrigate our prayer and be of help when distractions arise, as they always do. The 5th century monk John the Solitary commends an alternating rhythm of reading and prayer. Pay attention to the reading of the words of Scripture in order to learn from them how to be with God. Toil at reading the Scriptures more than at anything else, for in prayer the mind frequently wanders, but in reading even a wandering mind is recollected. A wandering mind is stabilized by reading, as Evagrius taught, and seething fury is often abated by psalmody. Reading can be a remedy when distraction derails, and when you're furious, saying a psalm can calm your anger. I think this is wisdom from the ancient fathers that's useful on any given day. Third, Christian meditation. Meditating on Scripture consists of reading the Word of God slowly and pondering it, allowing it to work the earth of our hearts. that is to plow furrows there, so that the word will take root in us and do its work, breaking up the hardened, rocky soil, the thorny earth of our hearts, so that the word can take root and grow. The word receive in hearing is held fast and made our own by turning it over in the mind, inscribing it in the memory. Meditation is essentially a rumination, a savoring. The goal is to let the heart's understanding taste the flavor and spiritual meaning of the texts. Reading and meditation are not necessarily two successive phases. There's a complementarity, and there often can be movement back and forth between these. Study, that is comparing different translations or making use of an annotated Bible or a good biblical commentary, can be helpful in avoiding a kind of narcissism that makes the scripture say what we ourselves impose on it. As readers, we want to submit to the word of God, to kneel before it, and respect its alterity, its antiquity. Origen's letter to Gregory on this theme is instructive, and this is on your handout. Apply yourself to the reading of the divine scriptures, but really apply yourself. By applying yourself to Lectio Divina, search correctly and with unwavering faith in God for that understanding of the divine scriptures which is hidden to many. Do not be satisfied with merely knocking and seeking, for prayer to understand the things of God is likewise absolutely necessary. For this reason, the Savior told us, not only seek and you will find, and knock and it shall be opened to you, but also added, ask and you shall receive. Early Christians often meditated by the repetition of a short phrase from Scripture, vocalizing on the lips or speaking silently in the heart, words such as, Lord, save me, or, O God, come to my assistance, Lord, make haste to help me. Psalm 1 seems to be especially important for thinking about the biblical roots of Christian meditation. It's a wisdom psalm that begins with what's sometimes called a beatitude, a biblical form of speech used by Christ. It's the just man who is blessed, the man who meditates on the Torah day and night. For the law of the Lord is his joy, and on his law he meditates day and night. The Hebrew term for meditation, Hebrew Haggah, refers to whispering with the lips, reciting, recounting, murmuring in a low tone. It's often used to describe speech that follows contemplative thought, as in Psalm 19, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Skipping to my conclusion, a word about prayer, our response to the word of God. In addition to thinking of prayer as a conversation of God with God, we can also see it as a consecration. When we pray, we offer ourselves to God, our time, our attention, our focus, a lifting of the mind and heart to God in the sense of a gift, a sacrifice offered. Prayer can be brief. Brevity in prayer is commended by Christ. When he taught his disciples to pray, he gave them the Our Father, which is notable for its concision. Christian preaching and Christian prayer, as described in the New Testament, are characterized by boldness, by direct speech, and by complete freedom. The Greek word used, parousia, referred to in earlier times to the right reserved exclusively to full citizens of the ancient Greek city-states to speak freely and frankly in the assembly of the citizens. The power of the Spirit, the Catechism observes, is expressed by the beautiful, characteristically Christian expression, parousia, straightforward simplicity, filial trust, joyous assurance, humble boldness, the certainty of being loved. Christ has assured us of his love, taught us to pray and open the way, giving us access to the Father through him, with him, and in him. We can approach the throne of grace in humble boldness to receive mercy, sure to gain entry into the heavenly sanctuary, thanks to the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Thanks for your kind attention, and I'll end here for now.
Thanks for listening to this lecture on the Thomistic Institute podcast. The generosity of people like you makes this podcast possible. If you enjoy these talks, please consider showing your support at www.thomisticinstitute.org/donate. Your donation of even a dollar helps us reach more college students and many others with the powerful truths of the faith, and it ensures that we can keep publishing top-notch lectures on this podcast. Thanks a lot.